sit down today?
No, we'd be okay here. Third chapter of Colossians begin with the first verse. The chapter previous to that is admonishes the Lord's children to not get so wrapped up in some of the habits that we have in terms of worship, and we have those, and it's easy to get so wrapped up in them until we forget the purpose, the real purposes of our worship. And we all form habits. That's unavoidable. And certainly they need to be monitored, and they need to be good habits. There are good habits, but there's some bad ones. And Satan would always try to inject or to make those habits go in a direction that maybe start out good, but they wind up something different to that. So we have the scriptures, and it's our guide. And we all go to extremes about some things. And we all have to check what we believe and what we do. It's a continual thing. We don't ever get to a point in this world where we don't need to monitor our own thoughts and our own convictions. And when we do, most likely we'll find that they need a little fine adjustment at least. Because we're human and we make mistakes. I'm not glad of the mistakes that's recorded in the scriptures. I'm glad they were recorded, because can you imagine if God gave us a scripture that didn't display any of the failures or weaknesses of His people? It would be so discouraging, and it's bad that we would be encouraged because of somebody else's problems, and it's indirect encouragement, of course, because what we find out is that His care is better than our failures. So He gives us, and He begins this chapter. He had talked about some very discouraging things, but He begins this third chapter. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. You know, that will just that'll just soften the things that don't go like we want them to. That'll soften the things when you and I don't do what we should. It's just an encouragement to have something to set for a goal, things that we love and things that we cherish, that it's something that will not fail. Because all the things that we love in this world, there's going to be some disappointment with it. But the admonishment of that the apostle is writing to the churches there at Colossae is that they don't set their affections on things that's going to be all the time disappointing. But set them on some things that's sure. We need some things, my friend, in this world of ours, as we live here, that's sure. And it's not disappointing. And we have some things like God has blessed us with some thing, with some knowledge of things that are not disappointing, but they're sure. And he said, set your affections on them. You know, the apostle went through troubles that you and I cannot comprehend. Partly because we don't have the responsibilities that he had. But he suffered a lot of things. But by the grace of God, there was something that he kept out in front of that. He had his affection set on something that was sure, that would not be disappointing to him. It would not fail. And we need that. We need that. Because so many things that we love and have affection for are disappointing. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Some things we have to look for. They just don't come out of. Some things we have to look for. And so many of the blessings and encouragements and strength that you and I need, my friend, are in the Scriptures themselves. And we have to seek for. You know, God could have made it where we just wouldn't have to expound it any effort at all. But there's some things we have to work for. I'm talking about specifically in the Scriptures. Don't depend on somebody to do all your reading for you. It probably won't cause you to go astray to read the Bible. So, this I say in connection with that we need more than that. If it was sufficient for you to have the Bible and that furnished all you needed, then you wouldn't have all them other things he's given you. God has surrounded us in the kingdom of God with people of like needs and of like interest. There's a lot to learn from a good godly discussion. It don't take the place of the preached word, but there's just a lot to be of goodness to be had by just sitting around and talking about the Scriptures. I'm not talking about arguing. Though it's obvious that when two people get together and talk about the Scripture, it won't be long until there'll be a disagreement. But that shouldn't destroy all the benefits of talking about the Word of God. We don't do it, not like we should. We talk about sports, we talk about everything. Very little discussion takes place about the Scriptures. And that's sad. That partly accounts for our lack of understanding. Set your affection, on things above and not on things of the earth. Is he telling us not to love anything in the world? No. But he's telling us we're going to have our attachment to the things of the world. We won't have to work so hard on that, will we? But he's telling us to set it. Make some effort. Make it something that's important to you. To set your affection on the things of God and his church and his kingdom and his people. Love that. Set your affections on it. Make it something that's important to your life. You know how you do that, my friend, is you cultivate what he's given you. That Scripture, that's what he teaches in the Scripture, that if he gives you something and you use it, that it'll increase, it'll get greater, it'll be more important in your life as you exercise it. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, he don't mean that you're not breathing. He don't mean that you're not going to get hungry before the day's over. But he's talking about the separation. The things of God, it be separate. Separate from all the worldly things that we need and have to have. And it's to be set on the front part. You know, all the scriptures have taught us of the experiences of men and women in the scriptures, that every time that they set their affections upon Him, it did not do away with all their problems, but I tell you what it did. It gave them something greater than their problems. God never promised that you wouldn't have any problems in this world. Now, when God first made it, there wasn't any problems. And if men had done what He said and didn't do what He said don't do, then there wouldn't be any problems. But that's kind of beside the point, isn't it? We live in a world where we have problems. We have a lot more than we should. We could have a lot less than what we have. And that's what the admonishment. So to make that a big part of your life, encourage that. Go to church whenever you can. Be a part of the church. God gave you that. And the more you're involved in it, the more you get out of it. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Now, that certainly is true about the final resurrection, but that's not really the issue that He's addressing here. For He continues, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And He goes on and He gives us a kind of an example of things that that we can separate ourselves from. Some of those things, my friend, you and I don't have to be a victim of. You and I cannot live perfect in this world. That does not mean that we have no control over what happens. We can avoid fornication, can't we? We don't have to be involved in adultery, do we? Some of the things, my friend, we can avoid. And what he said, one of the best antidote, my friend, for things like that is to have our affection on something that's worthwhile. The apostles were troubled. You think they wasn't tempted? You think the Lord wasn't tempted? Now, there's a big difference in when I use the word tempted, talking about the Lord. He was never caused to want to do wrong. Temptation to you and I, my friend, is we want things that's wrong. The Lord never did want what was wrong. But He was tempted in the sense that the devil put it before Him. The same thing that he puts before you and me. We don't usually handle it as well as the Lord did. But with His help, we can handle some of those things. This third chapter is encouraging them to that. He goes on in the sixth verse after enumerating some of those problems that are common and things that disturb and tear up families and cause people to have such regrets. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. You know, God, He has wrath toward what's wrong. And it's toward whoever the individual that's involved. God don't just hate them things that's wrong, but His wrath extends to us when we do those things. Certainly doesn't nullify His love for us. But don't think God is not wrathful. And His wrath is strong. And it's hard. And we don't want that. We don't want that. So, how do we avoid it? We seek that that's good. Seek that that's right. Seek to do that we know that the Lord's pleased with. And we seek to avoid the things that we know that He's not pleased with. We know that whatever we do here is not going to affect the eternal destiny that God has designed for His people. We know that. But my friend, God has He's fixed it so that you and I can have a good and a peaceful and a productive life in this world. It most certainly will be encumbered with a lot of problems. But you know, when I read about the men in the Scripture that they just had a hard time. They suffered things that you and I don't know anything about. And yet, they were not overcome of that. Why? They had their mind, they had their affection on something other than just tangible things around them. You know. We don't know what's going to happen in those terms to you and I and to lots of other people. We don't know yet what's going to happen with that. But isn't it good to know that even in times of that are hard like they are now, yet there's some things, my friend, that reminds us there's still a lot of good things in this land and among our families and for ourselves to dwell upon. And don't waste your time worrying about a bunch of things that you can't do anything about. All you're doing is nourishing a spirit that the devil wants you to nourish. Is it trouble? Yes. And it's sad. It would be so sad to see one of your family members or a close friend that just passed away because of some of that stuff. But you know something? You know where they passed to? It's a lot worse on them than on us than it is them, isn't it? Because they're set free from it. They're set free from that and all other things that could possibly ever bother them. Set your affections on those things. Eighth verse. But now He also put off all these. And I don't like to read all them because they're too... It's too much like reading my life story or something sometimes. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. You know, I wonder sometimes sometimes you don't have to say something, you know. If it's in your mind, because God knows what's in our mind, right? And we have ill feelings towards someone, and we know it's wrong, so we don't say it out loud. You know, that was with the apostles demonstrated that sometime. The people around the Lord, he'd do something and they'd have strong objection. They're smart enough to not say it out loud, but they're stupid enough to not realize that he knew what they're thinking. And sometimes he would answer that even though they had not voiced whatever it was they were in objection to or involved in. Lord still works that way. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man and his deeds. It's almost like he's being critical in a nice way. Seeing you've done all this, don't lie to each other. But we lie all the time, don't we? Sometimes the way we act is a lie. That don't make it good, don't make it right. We lie to ourselves sometimes. We learn that, you know, one of the first things that we have a record in the Bible is someone lying. In fact, not only did he lie, but he accused God of lying. So it just seemed like that lying, when we come in the world, when a child's growing up, he learns very quick that sometimes it's, he thinks, to his benefit to not tell the truth. When, of course, it would be, even though he might have got a spanking, but in the long run, it would have been better if he told the truth. But he don't think so. And we don't completely grow out of that, do we? Put off the old man in his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. There's something about us, my friend, that needs to be renewed. That's why it's necessary for us to come together in a church manner. You may hear the same thing you heard before. But it's a renewing. It's refreshing. And it keeps us, as he would begin this chapter, that we get back to what we should, to keep us from getting off and just getting further and further and further. It transcends race, customs. You know, there's something that God's people got in common. They may not know what this is. Maybe never seen a lot. The majority of God's people never have seen one of these. But we've got something in common. We've got something that's not only is it in common, my friend, but it'll stand the test of time. And it's something that Satan himself cannot do away with. One of the common things that's common with the ones that he's writing to here is situation that particularly existed then is something akin to it, I'm sure, to us today. Have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. What a common bond, and what a strong bond that is. It's an everlasting bond. It's one of the few things, my friend, that death itself cannot break that bond. And it's what all God's people have in common in Him. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, that's when I think of sometimes in my own experiences when someone would do something very hurtful and disappointing to me, and I nurse it a while. I kind of enjoyed, you know, babysitting something like that for a while. But at some point, sometimes the Lord reminds me. How much He's forgiven me for. How patient. How kind He's been to me. And then when somebody does something wrong, I want to see justice. He's got a way of reminding us, you know, you want justice? We do want justice, but we want it the way He fixes it, the way He makes it just, and not according to our ways and works. I appreciate your attention and your patience this morning. We look forward to coming and being in the Lord's house. I wish we could do it more often, but right now we have to use, you know, some restraint from things that we'd like to do. But I'm so thankful that we have a church home that we can come to and get away from these other things for a while and just think how good He is. Regardless of what we went through in this lifetime, it still wouldn't amount to anything compared to what He's done for us and what He's going to do. So we're not losers. And we may wind up with that horrible disease and know that there's no way of getting well from that, naturally speaking. But you know, there ain't nothing going to happen to us that's not going to happen anyway. And it's sad when we see people suffer and see them lose their loved ones to that, or to any sickness as far as that goes. But isn't it wonderful to know that they're free? Free. Nothing bad can ever touch them again. Isn't that wonderful? That God would even take something as horrible as death and yet build into that a release. So, you know, even something like death, God has not separated Himself from that. In fact, He got so close to it until He went through it, didn't He? So there's not an experience that you and I could possibly have, or one of our loved ones that is so bad and so foreign that He can't have compassion, and He don't lose control. He does not control everything that happens. But friend, He don't lose control. And He could control every action and every thought if he so chose. But I tell you, there's some things, the real important things, he don't turn that over to us. He is control in control of that. How thankful we ought to be for that. So many of God's people today are going to get together and they're going to be just worried to death that God's going to lose. Well, I'm going to tell you, he ain't going to lose. How thankful we ought to be for that. May God bless you, and I personally thank you for your tolerance. May God keep you in days to come.